Good day. This is Health on the Hill. I'm Mary Agnes Carey. The House of Representatives has passed legislation that would stop a 27% cut in Medicare physician payments scheduled to go into effect on January 1st. But the measure appears to be going nowhere in the Senate. So what's next for the Medicare doc fix? Matt DeBias, a political pro, joins us today with the latest. It's great to have you, Matt.
Good morning.
The House has passed a two-year patch for the Medicare doc fix. How would that work?
Well, as you said, the first thing it does, probably most importantly, is it stops a 27% pay cut from hitting the physicians who are paid by Medicare starting in January 1st. What it also does, it gives them a slight bump up in pay. So it stretches over 2 years, starting in 2012, extending through 2013. In each of those years, physicians will get a 1% increase in Medicare reimbursement. Something I'm sure they wanted a little bit more of, but they will be happy with 1%.
Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid has said the bill is dead on arrival in the Senate. Why?
Well, not just Harry Reid. President Obama also, his White House administration has issued a veto threat if it goes through, and there's very little chance of that. One of the reasons why, and this is more of a political conversation, but along with the package that includes the Medicare doc fix, are a couple of controversial what they call riders that Republican leadership included in there, one of them being referring to a pipeline extension that would run from Canada down south through America. This is something that the Republicans want to accelerate the development of. Democrats want to slow it down. There are a couple of other provisions that just don't jibe with the Democrats in the Senate and what they want. But primarily that seems to be the issue. You know, there are these kind of political arguments, and then there are also the what they call the pay-fors, how they want to pay for this package. And the pay-fors really get into the Affordable Care Act. You know, they siphon away, you know, close to $19 billion to pay for not just the doc fix, but also other provisions that are in the bill.
So they're talking about the bill would reduce funding, I believe, for the Health Loss Prevention Fund. It would have some extend the current income-relating provisions that exist in Medicare. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct. And that is $8 billion coming out of the Medicare Prevention and Public Health Fund. And Republicans have made it clear that they see this as a slush fund, but that has some very powerful allies in the Senate and also in the White House. So that, again, is one of those provisions, one of those pay-fors that will probably gum up the works, if you will.
Hospital groups have been very vocal. They're upset about these payment cuts for hospitals that are also being used to help finance the doc fix. Has their lobbying campaign made a difference?
The hospital lobby really took it on the chin in this bill, and it's remarkable considering the amount of clout that they have had and built up over the years. You know, there are cuts in here that you never thought you would see. There's, you know, $10 billion that will come out of what's known as Medicare bad debt payment. This is money that compensates hospitals for treating patients who can't pay. There are some other areas where they're getting hit. There's $6.8 billion hit in reimbursement for treating non-emergency patients in a hospital outpatient setting. And then there are some other tweaks. You know, if it wasn't just financial, there's also kind of a philosophical hit to hospitals. And this is something that the American Hospital Association, the Federation of American Hospitals, lobbied against, and that is kind of a loosening of the rules for physician ownership in specialty hospitals. So on one hand, yes, we know that hospitals are kind of Medicare's biggest cost center. There's more money that flows into that sector than any other sector paid by Medicare, including physicians. And I think it's also an acknowledgement that of the low-hanging fruit, the easy pay-fors when it comes to these types of provisions, these types of bills are pretty much tapped out already. But it also is an acknowledgement that the hospital lobby really, really did take one right around the chin. And I think that what happens when they go to the Senate, obviously hospitals have you know, some pretty strong allies in the Senate as well. We'll see how this shakes out.
Speaking of the Senate, has Senator Reid proposed his version of a doc fix?
Not yet. What the Senate has is a version of the jobless benefits and the payroll tax break. And even that isn't the match that the House passed last night. What is happening now is that the committees that have jurisdiction over Medicare on the Senate side, this primarily being Senate Finance Committee, are quietly working, we assume, on a package that can run anywhere from a short-term fix to perhaps a longer-term fix. I think they're still trying to calibrate the numbers right now, but, you know, again, they're facing somewhat of the same issue as the House face, and that is, trying to find a way to pay for a costly doc fix on their end. What's happened, you know, we don't know a lot at this point, but some of the ideas that have surfaced, the way that the Senate wants to pay for, if they can, a longer-term extension for physician payment, and that some of the provisions that we've heard would include a surtax on millionaires and also what's known as the OCO funds. This is OCO. It's the acronym that's basically shorthand for war savings. So the savings that would result as the U.S. kind of draws down its troops in Iraq and Afghanistan is also being added as a way to pay for this package.
Thanks again, Matt Tobias, a Political Pro.
Anytime, Mary Agnes.